I'm Stephanie Potter with The Recovery Zone, a show about healing our world here on listener-supported KBOO Radio. Today's show is about the Pixie Project, a special little recovery zone for cats and dogs. One of their dogs was Logan, a tan lab mix who's recently aced his lessons at Doggy Obedience School. Goofy and lovable, Logan was also among the 8 to 10 million dogs and cats placed in our nation's animal shelters each year.
He either ran away or was dropped off at a shelter somewhere in Washington, I think. And when the shelter contacted the owners, they weren't really interested in picking him up.
But Logan was lucky. He was not among the 4 to 5 million who are euthanized.
One of the staff people, probably Carly at Pixie Project, found him at the shelter and brought him into their fold.
That was Matthew Grad, who lives here in Portland with his wife, Ruby. And through the Pixie Project, Logan eventually became a part of their family.
Actually, after he was picked up at the shelter, he was adopted out by Pixie Project one time before. I think it was a single mom with a couple of kids. And he takes a lot of attention. And because she just didn't have the time, she ended up turning him back to Pixie Project. So that's how we were lucky enough to get him.
And as Ruby explained, once Logan became part of the Pixie Project, there was no way he would ever go back to a shelter.
If for some reason we couldn't keep Logan, we could not give him away. Our agreement with Pixie Project is that they take him back and foster him and adopt him out again. In fact, he's microchipped, and they're number one on the microchip. So if he got lost, it would be Pixie Project that would be called, and they would call us.
The idea for the Pixie Project arose out of the fertile imagination of dedicated animal lover Amy Sachs.
I liked the idea of bringing rescue into the city in a combination of retail and rescue in a very family-friendly environment, bringing it out of the traditional shelter environment, which can be, you know, we do have wonderful shelters here, Oregon Humane Society and Multnomah County and several others that we work with. Vancouver have great facilities, but they're often completely overwhelmed and understaffed and underfunded. So as hard as they work, they can never keep up with the unbelievable overpopulation problem. So it really just was to provide a family-friendly environment that would be supportive of the shelters and their overflow.
The Pixie Project has been open nearly 2 years and so far has adopted out nearly 450 animals. To address the dog and cat overpopulation problem, it also provides low-cost spay and neuter assistance. The Pixie Project operates out of a cheerful storefront across the street from the Convention Center in Northeast Portland. Here it houses a nonprofit pet supply store, a doggy daycare, and a large airy cat room where the cats play and doze uncaged. Dogstar, another doggy daycare in the Pearl District, houses several more of their adoptable dogs and cats. The Pixie Project has also launched a partnership with Outside In, a nonprofit that provides programs for homeless youth.
And one of their primary goals is to place youth that are either homeless or at risk for homelessness in job training programs to gain job experience and learn working skills. One of their programs is Virginia Woof, which is a doggy daycare, and it's a wonderful program. They do a fantastic job, and they run a beautiful daycare and boarding facility where youth can gain job experience working with the animals. It's a fantastic connection that they can make with the animals in a far less intimidating working environment, as you can imagine, than a more corporate setting for your first foot, you know, your first step into the working world. And we have a great partnership in that our dogs that are up for adoption are allowed to play for free in doggy daycare awaiting their new home. And we offer customer service and retail training for one youth at a time in our nonprofit pet supply store. So we have a full pet supply store that carries everything that any other healthy, natural pet store would carry, but 100% of the sales all go back to the rescue and vet bills. So the youth gain experience, both animal care experience and customer service and retail experience, and our animals get socialization and a wonderful quality of life.
Besides working with Outside In, the Pixie Project also has a cooperative affiliation with many of the area's animal shelters.
We've worked a little bit with Oregon Humane Society, and we work primarily with Southwest Washington Humane Society in Vancouver. They have a huge county, and they have an enormous number of strays and owner surrender animals. The staff are wonderful, and they work so hard, but they're just up against numbers that are extremely difficult. So we help them. We work with Multnomah County, also wonderful. Many of my good friends work there, and they're fantastic people. And we're sending home a dog today from there. And then other rural areas, we've worked with Merced County in California, tragically overwhelmed. We do a little bit of work with Mexico. We basically put ourselves open to any rescue or shelter that needs our assistance.
A lot of times a dog will have a totally treatable condition, such as Demodex, which is mange, the non-contagious form of mange, but the shelter just doesn't have the resources to keep a kennel space for that particular dog while they're being treated. So we pull dogs like that, we'll treat them for the condition that they have, and then adopt them out.
Carly Covington is Amy's partner and fellow co-founder of the Pixie Project.
We take dogs that it would be easier for on the shelter if we were to take that dog and treat it. So not that they won't or that they can't, but just kind of helping to alleviate the trauma for the dog and also the work on the shelter employees, because it's their job is already so incredibly difficult. And then to have cases where the dog can't be placed up for adoption for a while really puts a strain on their resources.
When she adopted Logan, Ruby Grad wanted to find out how the dogs and cats were selected.
What we were told is that I think especially Carly goes to shelters and she picks out dogs and cats that she thinks will be adoptable. Even if it doesn't necessarily appear that way in the shelter, apparently she and I guess Amy are very good at picking out animals.
I asked Carly to describe the process.
There's a couple of different ways that we get dogs. One way is that a shelter, one of our contacts at the various shelters that we work with will contact us because they have a dog that's a good fit for our program. The other way that we get dogs is I will go up to either Southwest Washington Humane Society in Vancouver or to Multnomah County Animal Services out in Troutdale and actually select the dogs to bring into our program.
And what makes you choose this dog or that dog?
Well, there's a number of factors that we look at. The first one is obviously all of our dogs play in dog daycare while they're waiting to be adopted. So it's highly important that there's no sign of aggression with other dogs. They're friendly, playful. They're not going to be too stressed out by a daycare environment because it is 40 dogs at any given time. We look at things like their medical condition. And then we also look at varying factors like age, potential for adoption through the shelter. So we get a lot of older dogs, a lot of black dogs, dogs that perhaps for whatever reason are being overlooked for adoption while they're waiting at the shelter.
Their animal selection process is what attracted Linda Grayson to volunteer with them.
One of the reasons I chose to volunteer at Pixie Project to do some training work was because of the way that they go and get dogs that are a lot harder to adopt out. So that was a big pull for me to come here to work with dogs that are challenging to help them and, you know, give them a better life.
Grayson helps to socialize dogs that arrive at the Pixie Project. And on this particular day, she was keeping company with a small, shy little dog who looks something like a miniature golden retriever.
This dog came in last night, and we are just kind of orienting her to the environment here to where she can explore and not be scared. So she feels pretty safe about doing it. Earlier, we were doing some trust-building exercises just to build up her confidence, using some treats and positive reinforcement. She just came in last night, and she's going to be an amazing dog.
Socialization also takes place in foster care settings and in the on-site doggy daycare. And as Carly explained, there's a few more things that must happen to make the animals adoptable.
Well, if the dog's not spayed or neutered, we'll do that. Sometimes we do get dogs transferred to us that haven't been altered, so we'll do that first. We vaccinate the dogs, make sure they have all their vaccines. We'll microchip them. If they need any sort of behavior modification, we have a wonderful trainer that we work with, Behave Canine Solutions, and they will help us sort of if we need to do extra training or anything to make the dog more adoptable.
And matching the right animal to the right home is critical to making this process work. Amy Sachs.
Kind of our primary goal here is to work to match properly the animal with the adopter, which is a service that has traditionally been very overlooked. And it is what ensures the ongoing success of the relationship between the new animal and the adopter and the happiness for both.
Potential owners are thoroughly checked out, as Ruby and Matthew tell us.
When we went to meet Logan, They were asking us a lot of questions and talking to us and, you know, wanted to make sure that we were a good match for him too, as well as him being a good match for us.
What I really liked about him was that they seemed to take a real interest in making sure that the animals are matched up with the right humans. So the application process was pretty extensive. It's like several pages that they ask about your lifestyle and your previous pets and what happened to them and your vet history and all sorts of things. So I was very impressed. It was, you know, it was a little bit of work to fill out the application, but it really gave me the impression that they were quite concerned about their animals and wanted to make sure that there was a good fit between the animals and the humans.
And the point is to go home with a pet that really fits your lifestyle.
It is not just a situation where one sees a particular dog on their website and contacts them about that, but that they also work with people who want to adopt and have a particular kind of dog in terms of whether they're high energy or low energy, and high maintenance or low maintenance, and they'll work with them, I think, to find a good match for them. So even if they don't have a particular dog in mind. And I think that the reason that Amy at the Pixie Project was so excited about our application was that, you know, both Ruby and I work at home, and so we're here all the time, and this is a dog that needs a lot of attention. He has a lot of energy, and so it was a really good match for him.
The biggest thing for me is activity level. People really miss the boat on choosing a breed or a dog of a certain age that doesn't match their activity level. They work 9 hours a day. They want to come home and take the dog for a 10 or 20 minute walk, but they do not want to be outside in December playing fetch with the dog for an hour so that the dog is not destructive when they leave. But that's what you're going to have with a baby Australian Shepherd or cattle dog. Those dogs need exercise.
Amy reported that the number of adoptions has been picking up as the Pixie Project has been gaining recognition in the community and as she and her co-workers have been getting better at their matchmaking skills.
Through seeing what it is that people are looking for and sort of reading between the lines, they may think that they want X dog, but really Y dog is the correct fit for their lifestyle. We sort of like to call ourselves, you know, something like eHarmony for pets, for dogs and cats, you know. If we have somebody, an older adopter who wants a lap cat, a kitten is not a good choice. It, you know, people, it's always the traditional thing. You get a puppy or you get a kitten. But really, we're changing that model and saying, hey, this is a perfect 10-year-old dog. We just sent a 10-year-old dog out with a wonderful family. They had a newborn and a 4-year-old. And the woman said, you know, I want a family dog, but I've never trained a puppy. I don't want to deal with that energy. I just want one that can integrate pretty seamlessly into my home and be a member of the family. And my kid can play fetch with it, but it's not a whole lot of work. And this 10-year-old was still spunky. She had been given up for her previous owners had said that she had a run-in with a porcupine and that was inconvenient. So they dropped their 10-year-old dog at the shelter. And this woman just was thrilled. It was a great fit because the dog matched the home.
You're listening to The Recovery Zone on KBOO Radio here in Portland, Oregon. Today's show is about the Pixie Project, an animal rescue center that's working to alleviate the suffering of unwanted cats and dogs. These days, shelters are reporting cats and dogs being abandoned because their owners can no longer afford to care for them, or their owners may no longer have a home themselves. This past February, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals estimated that the number of cats and dogs at risk of becoming homeless due to the economic crisis stands between 500,000 and 1 million. Amy Sachs.
It's unbelievable. It's like nothing the shelters have ever seen. I'd say 60 to 70% of the owner surrender forms are, we lost our job, we lost our home. So we just took in a 9-year-old dog. They had bought it 8 weeks. Now, granted, they put the dog in the backyard for its entire life, so it's arguable if it had the most wonderful life, but his name was Grandpa Samson. That's what we named him. And he came into the shelter at 9 years old, and he was given up because they had a change in job status. and he found an amazing home. We just got pictures of him and his new, the adopters wrote us a little letter in his voice, which was pretty cute. But yes, that's just a perfect example that the economy is really, it's not just that it's another mouth to feed, it's that they can't pay for vet bills and the animal has a condition, or they lose their home.
But even without this recent financial crisis, there is no question that the nation's animal shelters are overcrowded. There are simply too many cats and dogs being born every year. According to Spay USA, each day 10,000 humans are born in the U.S., and each day 70,000 puppies and kittens are born. As long as these birth rates exist, there will never be enough homes for all the cats and dogs. That's why the Pixie Project places so much emphasis on birth control. Carly Covington.
In my opinion, the main reason that we're in the situation we're in currently with the incredible amount of homeless animals is because of the lack of spay and neutering. So it's highly important from a medical standpoint, and it's really important for the temperament of the dog. I mean, dogs that aren't altered are 50% more likely to bite, 50% more likely to fight with other dogs or with people. So it's one of the most important things that we do here is spay and neuter awareness and spay and neuter assistance.
One of the missions of the Pixie Project is affording access to spay and neuter services for everyone.
We don't have a vet on site. We do have a low-income spay and neuter program that we assist people who don't have the means to alter their own animal, but that's done off-site. It's just a program that we run through here.
Part of the overpopulation problem is a result of our nation's thousands of puppy mills, where dogs are caged in substandard conditions and bred for puppies that are sold in pet shops and online. A recent raid in Burns turned up nearly 200 underfed dogs living under filthy conditions, and another in Grass Valley rescued 26 Cocker Spaniels with their fur caked in fecal matter from being confined to small crates. This April, the Oregon House voted 46-13 to require breeders to provide minimum standards of care for their dogs, including time out of the cages for exercise. The bill had originally limited breeders to 25 sexually active dogs, but Republicans pressed for 75, so the legislators compromised at 50. The bill still awaits consideration by the Senate.
Right. They're looking at limiting the number of fertile animals, limiting it to 50 animals of fertile age. That doesn't include the puppies that they can have. Now, to me, if you have over 50 animals, and this is, I'm sure, in some ways a controversial comment, but I would consider that very much a puppy mill. I don't know how anyone could adequately care for that many animals. I have 4 animals, 2 cats and 2 dogs, and just to care for those is a lot of work. So, I mean, I know from having a litter of puppies through foster care, it was hard enough to keep 8 puppies in clean conditions with a well-fed and constantly monitored mom. So, yeah, I mean, it's so hard in my world to even comprehend why anyone would have 50 dogs for the purpose of breeding. How anyone could possibly care adequately for that many is beyond my comprehension. And why anyone would feel the need to fight to be able to have 75 fertile animals, again, beyond my comprehension.
The American Kennel Club, which charges fees on its purebred registrations for hundreds of thousands of dogs every year, has lobbied against the puppy mill legislation, saying that it restricts the rights of responsible breeders.
The AKC will always jump up and defend the rights of these breeders, thinking that it's a slippery slope that, you know, we kind of equate it to the handguns where, you know, if you take my automatic rifles, next thing you know, you're going for my hunting guns. And it's just not the case, A. And B, you would think that people who were so aggressively striving to get the perfection of the breed would be the primary ones wanting to control this outrageous mass production of what they consider to be these purebred dogs that they're selling at pet stores.
This is not to say that Amy Sachs would do away with all dog breeding.
Breeding for me is not something I personally believe in. I do understand that there are certainly good breeders, and there are certainly breeders that do it with caution and with care, and they love that particular breed, and they carry on certain bloodlines, and I totally respect their right to do that. However, that is a very different situation than having 50 or 75 dogs that are massively producing in unclean circumstances.
This mass production of dogs caters to a thriving demand for purebred puppies. But even purebreds are not immune from being dumped off at animal shelters.
I would say 30 to 40% of the dogs that come through my rescue are purebred, bought from a breeder. And once, you know, they were not a good fit for the family any longer, they were given up. You know, I just adopted out today 2 8-week-old Australian Shepherds, and last week was a 12-week-old purebred Black Lab. The week before that, a 4-month-old purebred Black Lab. All of these animals were at one point purchased for a lot of money and then given up when they didn't suit the people's lifestyle. So there are just too many animals. You know, spay and neuter is absolutely at the core of what we do, and it's at the core of ending overpopulation, but people continue to buy animals over and over and over. So what I tell people is if you're into a breed, if there's a size you want, if there's all these specifications, we can help you find that. Be patient and wait, but we will find it. And the result is wonderful. You've rescued an animal and opened up a kennel for an animal that would, you know, potentially have otherwise been euthanized. And you've done a really good thing.
And to promote this really good thing and get people to reconsider where and how they acquire their pets, Amy Sachs is continually coming up with new ideas. For instance, when the Pixie Project dogs go out for their socialization walks, they're wearing Amy-inspired special leashes and collars.
I was noticing the Lance Armstrong bracelets, and it dawned on me that there was no international branding or marketing of rescue. There's all these small groups that are broken up and they each do their part, but there was no symbol, no iconic visual symbol that said, this is what I support, this is what I believe in. And as I went around and talked to people and told them what I did in terms of rescue work, they always wanted to share their stories of adoption and rescue. And I rescued this dog out of a dumpster on Highway 30, and this cat was in a car muffler. And all of those stories are wonderful, and they should all be proud of those stories. But I wanted people to be able to engage one another without having to have someone, a loudmouth like myself, who brought out the conversation. So we decided to design a line of leashes and collars that would brand rescue and say adopt. And the collar says adopt, and the leash says support the adoption option, sort of our catchphrase. And so my mom, being a smart businesswoman, noticed one day in the paper, she saw an article about a group called ID Workshop, which are local designers. They do shoes for Nike and Adidas. It's a group of wonderful people. And she saw in the picture that they had 3 dogs in their office. And they were what we call GBDs, generic black dogs. So they were, you know, not black lab sort of one-offs. And we asked them to design these for free. And they agreed to do that, which was incredibly gracious. And the result is this beautiful line of leashes and collars that we're launching to really build awareness.
And ultimately, building awareness of the importance of animal rescue is one of the major goals of the Pixie Project.
The days just aren't long enough. I mean, we all work all day, every day, as much as we can, but the problem is huge. The problem is huge, and the more awareness that we build, the better it's getting. But on a large scale, it's still a huge problem. And I think that as any nonprofit that's struggling to bring awareness to a cause, it's challenging emotionally, and it's challenging physically, and it's can be exhausting, but we love what we do, and we firmly feel that we see a lot of applications and a lot of people who are interested in animals that have only ever bought from breeders, and this is their first step into rescue. And if it takes us an extra 3 hours of talking them through the process, then I will do that in a heartbeat, because all I want is for people to be converted to realizing the importance of rescue.
For those who are interested in helping out, there are a lot of ways to get involved.
Well, our biggest need is always foster care. We have a short-term foster program. We just ask for 2 to 4 weeks of foster care for animals that need to be spayed or neutered and recover. We provide a crate and a bed and treats and toys and food. And we just ask that people provide some love and a nice, quiet, loving, calm environment for these animals. That's so important. For every animal that we can get into foster care, we can get another one out of the shelter. But also, biggest thing would be to shop at our store. If you're buying your Healthful Pet products, please come and buy them from us. It's going to all go back to support the rescue, and it feels good. You can feel good about shopping, which is always a nice thing, to feel good about shopping. You know, everybody likes that. So, and to just pop on in and see what we're all about. Visit the cats. We have a big, beautiful open cattery where everybody lives communally. no cages. And that's a really, it's a fun experience. 510 Northeast MLK across the street from the Oregon Convention Center. And that's, we have a parking lot, so it's very easy. And we're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, and Saturday, 11 to 5. And we do have volunteers that work here that do assist us in dog walking, cleaning, training, grooming, everything. And we always want those. If you're interested in volunteering, just shoot us an email and we can sign you up for a quick volunteer training and then you can come and volunteer. So there's all different types of ways to help.
And if you're thinking about acquiring a new four-footed furry companion, you should definitely come down and take a look. Chances are you'll end up just as happy as Elizabeth Zotowski with her new friend, Raleigh.
I've been incredibly happy with his disposition and all the help that the Pixie Project has given me. It's been a really exciting 2 weeks having Raleigh as a part of our life.
Or Christopher McPherson with Roxy.
He's like the love of my life. I've had him for about a year and a little over a year now. And I can't imagine living without him. He's just like the best thing that ever happened to me and has changed my life for the best.
Or Matthew and Ruby Grad with Logan.
Well, he's just a sweetie. He just is, he loves everybody and everything. And we actually had a lab before, so we already knew that we liked labs. And he's just a special guy. He's embodied love is the best way to put it. And yeah, he's just so incredibly wonderful and sweet.
You've been listening to The Recovery Zone on KBOO Radio. This month's show is about the Pixie Project in Portland, Oregon, founded by Amy Sachs and Carly Covington. You can find out more about them by visiting their website at pixieproject.org. That's P-I-X-I-E project.org. I'm Stephanie Potter. Thanks for listening.